thank you all very much for the self-sacrifice. And I know that almost to a person, everybody pays their own way to come to these events. And that is really heartening to know that when we think back around the era of alcohol prohibition and we see the men and women in front of those churches and those large halls and temples, that's what you represent today in 2010, the same sort of individuals who come forward who would like to see the laws change. I'm going to try to keep my remarks very brief here because we have Congressman Earl Blumenauer here, and that really speaks, I think, to the need that we all possess to hear from our elected officials about what they think about this prohibition and what the future holds. It would be wrong not to point out again and sound like a broken record that 1 year to date, when we met last year in San Francisco, the kind of remarkable changes that have happened in just one calendar year. And it's clear, as demonstrated by our previous two speakers, that public opinions are moving in the direction of reform. That, too, is clear. Just to give some metrics here, 74% of the American public support medical access, 73% support this notion of decriminalization, about 45% in the nationwide polls support legalization, and in a place like California and Oregon and Washington, just think of the Northwest and most of the Ninth Circuit, frankly, supports legalization in the majority. Not at the 58 and 60 percentile, the real slam dunk levels you need to really move reform, but we are absolutely moving into strong pluralities and low majorities, which is what's really driving this narrative. This year's conference theme of Just Say Now reflects the increasing urgency in public acceptance after 73 years of prohibition, not 12 or 13 like alcohol, 73 years of prohibition. And these normal conferences are the sui generis of the reform movement at an organized level. In 1971, the first People's Pot Conference was convened in Washington, D.C. in a church. So these are the historical prime convention for cannabis law reform that helps bridge the political, ethical, scientific, legal, and geographic considerations between at times seem like very disparate political reform agenda. At normal, we make no great distinction between decriminalization or legalization or hemp or medical marijuana. I would like to think I could give a two-hour cogent lecture on any one of those, and it'd all be proper. Combined, in my mind, it makes it even more compelling. But it has to be, I think, self-evident to all that the overall legalization of cannabis largely makes the two stepchildren of prohibition, the denying of medical cannabis to patients and the banning of domestic industrial hemp, entirely incomprehensible and unsustainable. In 2010, what are the five things that are primarily driving this zeitgeist for marijuana law reform? Well, clearly, if you're over the age of, say, 50, you can pat yourself on the back because it is the baby boomers that are largely driving this narrative in the United States. And they possess a much different attitude and experience with cannabis than we would say the World War II generation. As indicated by Steve, it's these crushing recessionary times that we're living through that are really sharpening the focus of politicians. I've mentioned many times in the media that in the last two or three years at normal, we don't take questions anymore from the media about males developing breasts or not being able to have children or amotivational syndromes or gateway effects. All of that has been removed, and now we're having discussions around zoning, compliance, taxation. And then the internet. The internet. I have been at normal so long, I have been there pre- and post-internet. And I can assure you that post-internet, without the ability for us to commonly communicate with each other, we would not be moving this narrative along as fast as we can. There are now 1.3 million people in Normal's opt-in network. I could have never licked 1.3 million stamps, you know. We would put the organization in bankruptcy just to mail to 1.3 million people. And it's the retail access to medical cannabis in states like California, Colorado, and really Montana that are making it so that politicians and, frankly, law enforcement can see that on a main street you can have a 7-Eleven, medical cannabis dispensary, a dry cleaner, a bank, no big deal. And that, too, has really helped drive this narrative over the last couple of years. There are 2,500 retail outlets in the United States for medical cannabis. Americans, and this is my most subjective view about why I think we're at the zeitgeist, we're just wary. We are tired of 73 years of marijuana prohibition, with 22 million offenders being arrested, and billions, tens of billions of dollars forsaken in taxes. California's Proposition 19. Not since California's voters' cataclysmic approval of medical cannabis in 1996, Prop 215, has there been a more important cannabis law reform project in America, a binding voter initiative that will largely legalize cannabis for personal use and cultivation. With one out of eight Americans living in California, it is a nation state. It has the sixth or seventh largest economy in the world. It can cogently be argued that if California moves in this direction, it will probably move the federal government off of prohibition. Proposition 19 is currently leading in the polls, not a strong lead, and this is why I think most of us believe this is a wobbler, as my friends in Britain would say. This thing's going to win by 1 or 2 percentage points or lose by 1 or 2 percentage points. But as a DPA op-ed about a week ago indicated that even if this loses, and I agree with them, if this loses, it has still won the hearts and minds of Californians and Americans to have this discussion around legalization. And not to be, yes. I mean, no offense to Oregon or Washington or my home state of Massachusetts or Wisconsin or Colorado, none of those states are going to move the federal government like California. It's got to be a bellwether state, a Pennsylvania, an Ohio, a Florida, a Texas, but it's really California. And here in Oregon, not to be entirely overshadowed, is a very important initiative, Measure 74, and that is supported by many people in this room, as well it should be, because it's a classic, I think, representation, historically speaking, of a bridge. It is the bridge between medical cannabis at a self-preservation level, where you could grow a small amount, possess a small amount, but not actually have retail access to it. I think the voters are going to approve this in Oregon, and it will move the state into now being the sixth or seventh state that has approved medical cannabis at the retail level and to tax it and to regulate it. It will join Colorado, Maine, Rhode Island, New Jersey, New Mexico, and the District of Columbia. So this is all moving in a very positive direction. And, of course, Arizona, for the third time, will be voting to legalize medical cannabis. It got stiffed by its legislature the first two times, and this time it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And South Dakota likely will pass a medical cannabis initiative as well. So this is all in play again in 2010. But clearly, there is both a mix of medical and legalization initiatives and legislation across the country, which marks this 39th annual conference. And I would like to think that this conference is the observable tipping point between medical cannabis and legalization. We lost a warrior almost a year ago today in a functional way. Jack Herrera suffered a terrible heart attack about this time last year at Hempstock, and he passed away on April 15th. And so this conference will be the first normal conference since at least 1987 or 88 that doesn't have Jack Herrera present, both here and in our lives. And so we have dedicated part of this conference, and every time normal will hold a vending area, which I think is very apropos for those who love and know Jack, that from this point forward, any exposition hall normal will have will always be known as the Jack Herrera Hemposium and Exposition Hall. And I'm pretty convinced he'll still be teaching people about the wonders of cannabis and the ecology of it well past his passing. He's really, truly one of the legends of marijuana law reform, and we're all going to miss him terribly. Eyes on the prize, in conclusion. Women sought the right to vote, which took about 80 years from the time they organized to do so. It took African Americans in seeking enfranchisement about 120 years. it took and it still is taking gay and lesbians about 40 years to achieve a great degree of equality in this country. And as noted, this is about Normal's 40th year. So we enjoy a certain parallel, to be sure, with the gay-lesbian movement in the United States. History informs us all, never take your eyes off the prize. Many of us will not live long enough to see legalization, but it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. In my mind, it's a fait accompli. It's such a fait accompli in my mind that if the voters don't do it in California this year, they will do it in 2012. And if they don't do it in 2012, we will be there in 2014. We are never going away. Prohibition is. Patience, faith in common sense, and consistency are our guide stars, not political expediency, faddism, or parochial interests. History will also note the immense contribution, sacrifices, tribulations, trials, and I'm not talking metaphorical and allegorical trials. How many people in this room have been arrested and gone to trial for cannabis? Well, blessedly, this is a lot less than a college audience, let me tell you that much. And so many people in this room have actually gone through the incredible tribulations of prohibition to actually lose your freedom, your property, custody of your children, access to your profession. And so almost every single person in this room has made the self-sacrifices to bring us to this day. In this place, the Governor Hotel in Portland, Oregon, September 9th through the 11th, so from Normal's board of directors, our staff, and our 155 chapter network in the United States, welcome, thank you for caring and sharing, and cannabum liberamus. We will liberate cannabis. Thank you very much.